Welcome to the Lay of the Land podcast with Dane Kennedy.
I feel like I'm talking to myself over here.
Stel Panayiotis.
Is your watch the Strava?
And Steve O'Callaghan.
Can I make some valid points here? All right, this is what happened.
Welcome to the Lay of the Land's comeback show, episode 43. I'll say a big welcome to my co-hosts, Dane and Steve. Steve, how are you going tonight?
Yeah, good. We're sponsored by Kombucha tonight. We've all got a can. You open yours, Stel.
Kombucha's the product. What's the brand? Maybe give them a plug.
Oh, wait. What is... Kombucha's the product.
Yeah. Remedy is the brand.
Oh, would you say you're sponsored by Lemonade or sponsored by Sprite?
Oh, okay. Sorry. I actually didn't know that. Okay. So, and apple crisp is the flavor. Have you guys ever tried either of these? This isn't a plug, by the way, but we'd love to be sponsored by them. Have you guys ever tried any of these?
I have. I'm a big fan of the Remedy kombucha. It's probably my favorite brand. I've tried a few different ones, but Remedy is a good one. Good friend David Toscano, who will be joining us later on for a game of poker, the Bellagio Big Blind. He's a fan of the Nexpa. It's sugar-free. He'll tell you that. His fridge is only stocked with beverages. There's kombucha, then there's beers.
Beer.
And white wine for his Negronis.
And his dirty clothes that he's airing out.
But just on that, Steve, that reminded me of a story you told us once about when your brother asked you to go and buy tasty cheese from the supermarket.
That's right.
You'd never bought cheese before because you can't have it. No. But I just want to tell us a bit about what happened there.
I went into the shop and he said, go get me some tasty cheese. So I get to the fridge and I see everything's freaking tasty. I'm going,
what brand?
Yeah, I said, what brand do you want? And I can't remember what I said, but I obviously didn't know that tasty is the type of cheese.
You were looking for the brand tasty.
I figured that.
Tasty with the type of cheese.
I figured that was the brand. I actually... Growing up, I thought that was a thing. So you learn something every day. have you learned anything today, Stel?
Have I learned anything today? I've learned that we are now back in stage 4 lockdown as of 11:59 tomorrow.
Yep.
So that's one thing. Today. Correct. What about you, Dane? Have you learned anything?
I've learned plenty in the past week, but I've learned that maybe this is happening for a reason. So maybe we need some more time alone.
Do you believe that things happen for a reason?
I genuinely believe that things happen for a reason. As much as it frustrates us, there must be a lesson to learn.
Is that fate? Like, is everything happened for a reason? Is that what fate basically means?
Yes. Yeah, but basically that's what fate is. Everything happens.
It was meant to be.
Right timing. And look, I mean, I think that's a better way to look at it than to get frustrated and pissed off that this has all happened, because obviously no one wants it to happen.
Yeah.
But it's happening. So it's just a more empowering way to look at it. It's like we never truly know what's going on in this universe, but there's some beliefs and some ways of looking at life that lift you up, and there's some ways that bring you down. So
regardless of the situation, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, and regardless of if it's right or wrong or if it's truth or false. It doesn't, some things you're never going to understand. So choose an empowering belief to make it more enjoyable.
And sometimes when something goes wrong and you take, put a bit of a positive spin on it, that sort of comes back to your values as a person, can't it? But so like if you are in a bad situation or something you didn't expect, you can still be the type of person you want to be in a shit situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right. You're not.
Yeah.
How you react is not dictated by the circumstances. Instead, it's dictated by your values, like you said, and what you hold as your beliefs. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, Steve, you said on the way here the traffic was already banked up.
It's busy.
It's banked up, and we just saw in the news that a lot of people are fleeing Melbourne to get down to their beach houses, and Dan Andrews has kind of given the free ticket to do that, but. Yeah. Kind of at the same time said, don't do it if you can avoid it. So
he said he and his missus had plans tonight and they're not going to their plans. But that doesn't mean we don't have to do our things. That's just what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah. So he also told us to get on the beers. Yeah.
So we might as well do it. Did you have a story for us?
I've got a bit of a story. So I've been working in the cafe this week down at Aqua Nation. Black Tie Catering. They run the Plunge Cafe down there. It's good. Good fun.
The Plunge Cafe.
The Plunge Cafe.
Is that in reference to a plunge pool?
Yeah, they also own the cafe at Aqua Hub in Croydon, which is called Splash.
Oh.
So they got Splash and Plunge, so like in reference it. To the pools. Good people to work for. I really enjoy my time there. It's always a good laugh. But I was talking to my manager, Tash, and I know she listens to the podcast, so I'll give her a shout out. And she was telling me a story. She goes, I don't know if I should tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's in reference to you guys and your podcast. And I said, all right, yeah, you can tell me. She goes, oh, I don't know if I should. I said, no, it's fine. I'm not going to take offense to it. And she goes, okay, well, I was in bed the other night and I thought, you know what? I can't get to sleep. You know what? I'm gonna put on the Lay of the Land podcast and see if that'll help me get to sleep.
That's right.
She was out like a light.
Anyway, so she's listening to the podcast and it was the one where we were talking about getting detention, you crawling out of the classroom, chewing your lolly but still trying to hold a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And she goes, I just was pissing myself the whole time. I couldn't get to sleep. So I don't know if that's a compliment for our podcast, but I think that was the wrong one to choose to get to sleep.
It's a bit of a backhand. It's what do you call it? When
a backhanded compliment.
Backhanded compliment because going to put us to sleep, but it ended up being quite enjoyable. So thanks for the feedback. It's great.
And you could put a positive spin on it, like she was feeling relaxed from listening to it. I mean, there are a lot of different strategies for getting to sleep. I know you were sharing one with us the other day when you were struggling to sleep late at night. There was something you can do. And I reflected on that because I think one strategy they say is to count sheep. Is that one that works for you boys or?
Yeah. Well, now in saying that, counting sheep is have you seen the Mr. Bean episode where he gets out the picture of the sheep?
Yes.
And he's counting them and he doesn't know how to count them. So then he starts again. He counts the top row and then he counts the columns. And then he calculates it on the calculator and then falls straight asleep. Classic. Are you guys still... So, tell us about your strategies.
I'm just going to say, just Tash, if you are listening to this, Belinda blinked. She'll get that reference and some of you other listeners may get the reference there. But yeah, so we've got a few people asking when the next episode's coming out. So, we've finally delivered episode 43. We did record an episode last week with our good friend James Arthur Pimmy...
J.A.
Vault Studio. It was good.
The Vault Studio, and we've got more to come on that, but we did record a full episode, well, 95%, and then Steve, your laptop crashed. We lost the recording.
It's a surprise that's the first time it's happened. After 42 episodes, that was the first time we actually lost an episode had a malfunction. But
could it have happened at a more inconvenient time?
No.
Yep. And it wasn't an episode that we could redo because we were kind of doing a preview of the NFL Super Bowl, which was in the next few days. So we were really limited.
Unless we do it again and just pretend we haven't watched it.
Well, you've got your audio because you were on the Zoom call. So I reckon we could just dub in our voices have Stel.
We could change our voices to then say the things we wanted to say and Stel's sitting there just unfortunately saying the things he had to say.
That's what happens most weeks.
No, usually... All the time. You're very good. But we will do another one. We're going to do a Super Bowl review and, look forward to chatting about that because it was a great game.
It was a good game.
And, well, let's talk about that when we do it with Pimmy, Pim Dog,
yep.
J.A., James Arthur, Vault Studio.
So what's the plan for the next 5 days? I was thinking the other day about my perfect day off. Can't really do that tomorrow if tomorrow was going to be my perfect day off. But if you had no responsibilities, if you had no chores to do around the house, if you weren't in a moon boot, if your life was just ready to go and you had a Saturday all free to yourself, what is your perfect day off? What does it involve? What would you do? Where would you go?
Okay, so I think perfect day off, no moon boot.
Yeah,
no moon boot. I think it really depends on a few factors, like the weather. Depends on who's free.
Let's assume it's a perfectly 25 degree day,
and everything lines up how you want it.
And everything. Oh, look!
And you can be anywhere you want. You can wake up anywhere you want.
Yeah, I think my version of a perfect day is probably just going for a drive down the beach.
Yep.
Catching up with some friends, listening to some good music, having maybe a picnic on the beach,
yeah,
come back, all relaxing, and maybe no work the following day, so you're not in a rush to get back.
Yep.
No feelings of feeling rushed, just feeling content and relaxed. Totally. Yeah, that's probably the...
Well, you wouldn't have to rush back anyway at the moment, Stel, because your principal's giving you the go-ahead to just take as much sick leave as you want.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm just resting my foot and he wants me back when I'm ready to go back. What about your idea of the perfect day?
Yeah, definitely down the beach, getting a good surf in. Whether or not I wake up at the beach, or because I quite enjoy the drive down and getting a coffee, yes, listening to some music or a podcast on the way down. I think that's a really calming way to start the day. Rock up at maybe Point Impossible or Janjuk or somewhere down the West Coast, see crisp, clean 3 to 4 foot waves, preferably left-handers, but you don't get them very often down that coastline. So I'll take a right-hander, you know, work on my backhand. Then afterwards, probably get some lunch and another coffee, and sit down with either whoever I go with, you boys or my dad or my cousin, and just maybe have a beer.
And that's an interesting one. It's who would you want to spend it with? Would you want to spend it by yourself? Would you want to spend it? I mean, there's always different situations. You'd want to spend some days with your friends, some days with your partner, some days with your family. Well, some days you just want to spend by yourself. So everyone's probably got a different version of their perfect day off depending on who they're with and where they are.
Yeah.
So maybe is it more of a question about what you can do to set up your perfect day, not so much having the perfect day?
I was thinking more about activities.
Yeah.
So what would be your activity? So yours involved definitely surfing.
Yes, it was surfing for sure and not much else.
Yeah.
But I was driving home from work the other night. It was about 7:30. I actually drove past Ringwood Golf Course, and it was Wednesday night, just before the podcast that we were meant to record, but my laptop packed it up. And the sun was setting, and I thought, you know what? This would be the perfect time to play golf. So I reckon finish with a 9 holes, sunset, 9 holes of golf. I reckon that would
straight to the 19th hole.
Straight to the 19th hole.
Out on the clubs. Out to the clubs.
Wouldn't mind finishing the day off at a live music venue playing pub covers where we could have a dance floor.
Yourself?
No. On the dance floor.
You prefer
maybe with
to
a bit
music?
Of Adam 12 or
you prefer listening to music rather than playing music?
Yeah, actually, you know what? We'd be down in Torquay. I'd give you boys the come along, and we'd go and see Harlow and Hart.
Oh yeah,
at the Torquay Hotel on a Friday or Saturday night.
I reached out to them recently. Yeah, I slid into their DMs.
Does Steph know about you sliding into their DMs?
No, she doesn't actually. But I was because we're tying the knot, and I've been looking for a band to play at the wedding. So reached out to them to see if they were available.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we might get to see them again.
Yes.
Oh, they were great. That night we spent at the Torquay Hotel watching Harlow and Hart. It wasn't a big crowd. It was a good-sized crowd. Like, there wasn't many of us there, but we were all on the dance floor, and everyone was having a great time. So, I just love the vibe down
there. They got good vibes. Like, they can get good vibes going, good energy. Yeah.
So, if anyone is after a band for a gig or a wedding or a party, you know, if you can't get onto Dane Kennedy Music, reach out to Harlow and Hart as a three-piece girl group.
If you were my friend, I would have reached out to you, but I'm like, I don't want you to be working.
I would have declined. Based on that, because I want to enjoy your wedding. I don't want to be working on your wedding, and likewise, I wouldn't have wanted to at yours either, Steve. But the band you guys had at your wedding was awesome as well. Yeah. Two-piece.
Great vibes.
Keyboardist and guitarist, they both sang. So,
yeah.
How about yourself, Steve? What would be your perfect day off? You've obviously been building this one up for a while.
I know your perfect night is dinner with the family.
Yeah.
But what is your perfect
later
day
tonight? It starts with like a walk and getting the paper and reading the paper, doing a crossword. If I've got the time, I'd love
look
to
at him,
do
he's
that.
On fire. He's
love
on
to
fire.
Do it. What do you mean? Surfing would be it. It's all about activities, isn't it? For me, it's surfing.
He's asking a lot of rhetorical questions as well.
It's about surfing. It's about, I'd love a hit of tennis. a nice big BLT for lunch. Plenty of coffees. I was listening to Andrew Russell's conversation with Dill and Friends podcast, and he was talking about how you shouldn't have coffee after 12 p.m.
Yes.
And so I've been trying to implement that. It's quite hard, but I think
the 10-3-2-1 rule.
That's right. Do you remember what that exactly is?
Well, I think it's 10, it's a schedule to help you with getting a good night's sleep.
Yep.
And so the 10 refers to 10 hours before bed, you shouldn't have caffeine.
Yep.
So generally after lunchtime, you shouldn't have coffee. 3 is you should stop working 3 hours before bed. 2 is screen time.
Screen time, yeah.
And then 1 is any form of light, is it?
Yes.
I might have mucked that up, but have you started implementing the coffee one?
The coffee one, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, while I was at work this week, I did have a sneaky can of Coke during the afternoon, just a bit of sugar, but I don't think that's got too much caffeine in it. It was more just a bit of a sugar hit in the afternoons, but which isn't great anyway, but I just needed a little bit of boost. But I was having coffees at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which now I realize I had caffeine in me all the time.
All day because,
I wake up with it and I have another one and I'm just constant in my system, so.
And like you're obviously going to sleep. But yes. It might have been affecting your quality of sleep.
We were chatting about REMs the other day, and mine were, I was getting 20 minutes of REM sleep, which is, I think you're meant to have at least an hour or.
Yeah,
that was when we were talking with Nicholas Freeman. and we were looking at the watch, the Garmin watches, and his sleep was much better quality than yours.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't drink caffeine. He's laid off the caffeine entirely. And yeah, like you said, you've been having them later in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
there's so much science around sleep.
You started that, and I caught up with you the other day for a coffee, and you said that this was about 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
and you said this is the first time you've had a coffee after lunchtime in however long. So did that affect you having that after not having it?
Yeah, I think I don't know whether it was just in my head, but I definitely noticed a change to the quality of my sleep, and then the flow-on effect is that you also notice the lack of caffeine the following day if you like going back to not having it.
Yeah.
Like, so I think I was craving it a little bit more the following day.
When you woke up?
Later in the afternoon, more than one. But go on with your...
I was going to say, you'd have to get all those coffees in, however many you want, before midday.
Let's just have 6 coffees in the morning. No, but I think it's all about activities. And let's just imagine I was doing this by myself. Yeah, it'd be all about activities for myself. It'd be going for a surf and maybe have a hit of tennis. Have a hit of tennis by yourself.
A brick wall somewhere at a primary school or something.
That used to be great, the brick walls at tennis clubs where you just hit
against
yourself.
Or the nets, the big wall net was a rebound net. They were great. Who needs friends?
Yeah, true.
Because you can do that with the table tennis table too. Flip it up and just play yourself.
That's a good way to do it.
Just play with yourself, eh, Dane? Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about activities, I think, for me. You're on your perfect day off. And as you said before, not having.
It's lost. Still's got a vendetta at the moment.
Not having.
After you've done your coffees and your crosswords, what are you doing?
Work the next day is a bonus. Super bonus. It's like a Mario. It's like a Mario super bonus. You can go to sleep and do whatever you want.
Are you carrying around a scorecard for all these activities, Steve? Because you are a competitive bloke.
Yeah.
So what are you? How do you score yourself against yourself?
Well, I used to actually play pool billiards against myself. We used to have the billiards place at my parents' place. And I used to go there Sunday afternoon, just play against yourself. You got to remember what number or what.
Generally, it's smalls and bigs.
Smalls and bigs. So you just remember which one you're up to, and it's actually quite enjoyable because you got to beat yourself.
Yeah, you've had a lot of experience of that, Steve.
All right. Anyway,
but hold on. So after you beat yourself at all these activities, how would you finish the night off once you've got home from all these activities?
a big steak and a few beers, Carlton Draft. They actually had a thing in the paper the other day of Australia's favourite beers.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think Marty Shegel was talking about that on the radio the other day. Yeah. So what topped that off?
What topped the list?
Yeah, Australia's favourite beer.
Something you wouldn't think it was.
Give us a Carlton Draft?
No, that came about fourth or fifth.
It's something you wouldn't think because Steve's forgotten it.
No, it was actually Stone and Wood.
Yes, that's what he said. Yes,
yeah. Stone and Wood was one.
Pacific Ale.
Yeah,
I do enjoy that beer. That's a good one.
I can't do it. I know it's a real popular beer and I know...
It's a craft beer, isn't it?
It's too fruity for me, but up in Byron, they drink it like it's water.
Yeah.
But they had guys calling in on the Marty Shegold show in Triple M saying, what's the worst beer in Australia? Have you guys got a worst beer that you just like, you can't stomach? Hammer and Tongs came up.
Oh, yeah. We used to go at Perseverance. They used to have Bogue's Draft tap. And you'd have about two or three pints of that and you'd feel sick. There was also another one.
I'm not a big fan of stout.
You don't like stout?
Nah, I like dark beers. Yeah.
I can drink a dark beer on a tasting paddle. It's a real novelty.
Yeah.
But any more than like one of those little pony glasses, I wouldn't be doing
it. Anything on a paddle is a novelty and you'll drink it. It could be piss and you'll drink it because it goes with the sequence of drinks that are on the paddle.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that smoky bacon beer?
At the Geelong one.
Yeah, that was creatures. That was epic. But then there was also one that did actually taste like cat piss, but we're like, oh, this is all right. Like, it's something different. There's notes of cat piss in here, but
it's good to have
it
before the IPA.
Yeah.
The IBA?
IPA.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
There's a place out in the Yarra Valley which does little things of wine for the girls instead of paddles for the boys. Like, not that beers are paddles for boys, but it was wine and it was in little beakers. You know those things you used to have in science?
Yeah.
Beaker? Like a...
Yeah, beaker. Yeah. Test tube?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like them. And the girls have little thingos and they fill up their little glass with a little bit of wine.
You were drinking one of those.
I didn't have one, no.
Okay.
Maybe... Steph, for her 30th, she's heading out to the Yarra Valley on a winery day.
She is.
So maybe
hopefully you can go ahead with
sure, you'll be right there.
Well, that's so, in a couple of weeks, so we should be good. And hopefully we can test out these beakers. Maybe that's one of the venues.
Mm.
So how is getting back into work? You're back into Acrina now. Acrina.
Back in the day. Acrination.
Acrination.
Just getting settled.
Customer service, doing... Serving coffees. Do you serve coffees there?
What's my main role?
Yeah. What's the most popular product that you sell every day?
Oh, coffees and hot chips and potato cakes and dimmies. We got the Bay Marie working overtime.
That's great.
But coffees. We had coffee training on Wednesday or Thursday, and I'll tell you what, it was good getting some coffee training because I'd like to think I take pride in making a coffee, but I've never really been shown that well how to do it. It's kind of like trial and error. Oh, this works, this doesn't work. Oh, that milk, how I did that milk this time didn't work, so I'll try something different. But had this guy come out from the Bean Cartel, Alan Chan from the Bean Cartel. His coffee art is amazing. He's got like 27,000 followers on Instagram showing how he makes his... pours his coffee. So we had him out teaching us how to pour coffee and it was quite interesting. Like, I was doing it totally wrong. So that was really, really good. So yeah, we serve a lot of coffee and hot food, but customer service is an interesting industry to work in.
What's a cartel?
Is this him?
Yeah, John. I think that's John from the Bean Cartel, but Alan's the coffee guru.
It can't tell.
It's like a group that kind of gets stuff done. I don't know, Steve. Can you look that up on Oxford?
The only time I've ever heard of a cartel is drugs. Narcos.
Yeah,
that's obviously about the Mexican.
Or is a cartel like a shipment? Like the Bean Cartel, like a shipment of beans.
Oh, okay.
Like coffee beans. Yep.
Did he have a holster?
A holster?
Yeah.
For his what? for his group head for the coffee machine.
Yeah. Cartel sounds like a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a mask on, but that was kind of mandatory.
A cartel is an association of manufacturers or suppliers with the purpose of maintaining prices at a high level and restricting competition.
No, so you can be legal.
So people, so basically you're telling us we're paying overs for the coffee beans we get.
Guess what the example is? You know how they always have a little example? The example is just says the Colombian drug cartel.
I knew it was going to be along those lines, but it's better latte than never to get some coffee training, Dane. You've also recently got a new coffee machine, thanks to your beautiful wife, Bridget.
Yep. I think you just skipped over customer service, which was the topic we were leading into there, Stel, but go ahead.
Well, I want to know how Steve is getting his hands around the new machine, how he's going at using it.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not very good at latte. I can't do that. But yeah, I think I'm getting better. I think, ask me a month ago how to make a coffee and I would have no idea. Now, at least I know the parts of the machine and things like that.
So, we came over a few weeks ago and you made Stel a soy latte.
Yep.
But the machine frothed the coffee. Oh, sorry, frothed the milk. Have you taken on the responsibility of frothing the milk now? Or is you still not quite confident in that area?
No, I've been giving it a few goes because it seems as though if I do it automatically, you have to put in a certain amount of milk to hit the thing, but if you do it manually, you can actually put in just the amount of milk you need and hold it up a bit more and put it on an angle. So
you're not getting the waste.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm giving it a bit more of a go. But yeah, it's the one I gave you, Stel, was probably I gave you because you learn about all the little baskets and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And the one I gave you was very strong. So I apologize for that.
No, I do enjoy a strong
coffee.
Because
that was 11 o'clock at night and I gave you a double shot of
it's all right. I still had to drive home from London.
That
so
definitely didn't fit the 10-3-2-1 rule.
No. Actually, I wasn't driving. Dane drove. So I was just up all night. Any strategies for getting a bit? So what we'll tie this back to customer service. And it is around you know, what's important when it comes to customer service? We can start off with the example of getting a coffee. Is it just important that the coffee is good? But what else is the product?
I think it's being met with a smile and a how are you? I know we've spoken a number of times about how good it'd be to be a barista at a popular cafe, getting to see the same people day after day.
Do you need to do a law degree to serve coffee?
Yeah, to become a barista.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I think it's being met with a smile and a brief conversation even, just how are you going? Like, I work at a leisure center, so are you been to the gym? How was your swim? You know, and, you know, you may be understaffed. There may be a lot of people waiting and someone may come up to order. You're in the coffee machine, but there's no one else to serve. You can't leave the coffee machine. So it's just a simple, hey, how are you going? Won't be a moment, you know, we'll get to you as soon as possible. Just let them know that, We see that you're there. We acknowledge you're there.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to you as soon as possible.
And that's a skill. Like,
yes.
Your person on your first day wouldn't know or something like that because they would just be like doing their job as you would, as if you were learning a new job, you would just go and do your job. You wouldn't be noticing things around you. You have to have that awareness of that when people come in, you have to, if no one's going to serve them, let them know that you'll be with them in a minute.
Yeah. So I'm currently working with a lot of school kids. So, a whole new staff since before COVID,
yep.
Totally new staff, and a lot of them are year 11 and 12 students. So first job for a lot of them. So they've actually picked it up really well, like a really good effort by them, but they don't have that initiative to go and see if the table needs cleaning or if someone is at the till, just to let them know that it's okay. You know, if you're doing something else, that's fine. You're doing something else, but just let them know that you'll be with them in a moment. So that'll come. And, you know, I'm sure we, on our first jobs, we had no idea either.
Yeah.
You know, you learn.
Keeping it coffee specific, do you feel like the type of training you get for a role can emphasize how important that service element is in a role like being a barista?
Yes. Well, generally at a cafe, like, say you walk around to a cafe around the corner here. So give them a plug. What's it called?
Sunnyside Cafe.
Sunnyside Cafe in Heidelberg Heights. I guess you probably see the same barista most days on the coffee machine.
Yeah, when I'm
So we don't have a barista that is there all the time. It's kind of just the role is shared. I think it's really important. I think it's probably important to get some consistency to have one or two people working on the coffee machine.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if people are going somewhere, they've had a crap day. Like, a coffee is a highlight of a lot of people's days. A coffee can take your day from real average to like good.
Yep.
You know, just getting that good coffee. If you go to somewhere that you normally get a good coffee, you order a coffee and then it turns out that it's no good because someone who's got no idea how to make a coffee has jumped on the machine. You know, I don't think that's good customer service. I think, and I think that's hence why we got the coffee training. So there was a bit more consistency across the board at the cafe.
Mm.
Building off that, Steve, do you think it's possible to go somewhere, get a coffee, the coffee is rubbish,
yep,
but the service is fantastic and it brightens your day a little bit, but the coffee is rubbish?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It comes hand in hand. Like, yeah. It doesn't come hand in hand. Oh, well, I don't know what I'm saying there. But
they're not mutually exclusive?
Yes. Correct. Like,
nice, though.
Yeah, you can...
Nice. Steve's got no idea what that means.
Oh, yeah. I used to be mutually exclusive with a lot of people.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it can make your day.
Make their day too, wouldn't it?
Okay. It can make your day because, I mean, sometimes when I'm ordering coffee or if I'm ordering dinner or something and I'm not sure if they're going to get it right with my allergies, if they look like they're going to look after me and they go and ask the chef and they come back and they say, it's all good, we've checked and got all your allergies, have you got your EpiPen? Like, ask questions like that. And then you go, I'm sorted. I feel a lot more comfortable. I feel happy to be here. I want to eat my meal. We've been to places where you know they have no idea.
Mm.
It does ruin your night a little bit. Mm. So it is an important thing, to have.
Here's my two cents. I want to put this to you guys. Do you think that you can package good service into having a consistent values-based approach in how you provide service? So, like, coming off your example, Dane, you can be someone, you know, who works at, serves the coffees, and it's good to have that consistency. But do you think if you're an organization, it's important to be like, right, all our baristas will exhibit these three qualities. They will be curious about their customers. They will be always tend to the customer first, regardless of if there's tables to wipe, and they will take an interest in something they say, at least one thing they say. So it's like you're giving something to assess the customer service by, not just the coffee making. Do you reckon that has a place?
I believe that that's true. It's a package deal.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be, as the baristas, you know, if you're up the front, you're the face of the business.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much good stuff goes on behind the scenes, behind the kitchen wall, if you're not delivering that excellent customer service at the forefront, you know, you're going to lose customers. And look, I think yeah, you can serve an average coffee, but if you're treating that person like they're important,
mm,
just, and it doesn't need to be a long conversation. No. It's just ask them one question.
Yeah.
Ask them a question, because if you ask them one question, they're probably going to waffle on a bit because they feel important because they've been asked a question.
And if they don't, that doesn't matter because you're still being consistent with offering the customer service. Like, talking about this is actually, I don't mean to plug Andrew Russell again, but he talks about mental toughness. And I know it doesn't sound like it fits in with customer service, but he thinks mental toughness is the ability to do the job at hand regardless of other things going on in your life. So, for example, how can I be the best barista right now? Given it's hectic, there's other things to do, there's tables to clear, I've got a line of people, how can I be the best I need to be at this particular job? And that can be, how can I be the best friend I need to be right now? How can I be the best son, daughter, partner in a specific moment with other life distractions going on?
Yeah.
And I think if you want to be the best waiter you can be, then you will do things like if someone's got an allergies, you will be curious about it because being the best waiter you can be is tending to their needs. So like being curious, asking questions, going to the kitchen, and like you can apply it to any situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And like what you were saying before about having values is can work in any business. Having some values that everyone can go by, whether it's, you know, friendly, you know, do your job well and, you know, try your best or whatever they are, at least you can look at that every day and go, did I do those three things? Or, you know, these are the three things we stand by, do your best at them. Because, yeah, sometimes you can go to organizations and you don't think that everyone's on the same page.
Mm.
You know that everyone's not on the same page. There's some people that think they're higher, they're lower. If you're everyone's sort of on the same page, I think that makes a huge difference.
We have three at our work.
Do you?
Like, so three core values that it all comes back down to, and it's inclusive, curious, and respectful. And so then we unpackage those three words, like what they look like as well. Mm. And so they're put up on posters around the school and the expectation is everyone does it. Because it all comes back to those three things.
What could be the three for the lay of the land?
Yeah. I was going to ask the exact same question. You must be on the same wavelength.
Well, we started off with a brainstorm. So, all the staff put up a whole bunch of words.
Yep.
And then it sort of came down to a vote. Everyone voted. It was a knockout system and we were left with those three.
It's a good way to do things, isn't it? The knockout system.
Yeah.
I think we've had discussions about this podcast and like why we're doing it. And I think... for me, one of the values would be fun.
Fun,
yeah.
Because we do it. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun.
No.
Like we put time aside, make an effort. And, you know, Steve, you go to a lot of effort in recording it and uploading it. You know, you wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. So, that's definitely one of them.
And then, if you were to boil it down to three, the next phase would be, okay, so fun is one of our pillars. What does that look like? And then, like, five dot points to unpack that a bit more. So, fun is... not taking yourself too seriously, yep. That sort of thing. Like, what do you think might be another pillar of the show?
I suppose it ties in with fun, doing it for the pure enjoyment of it. We're not doing it to get fans or make money.
Being authentic.
Yeah.
Authentic. Yeah. Learning new skills.
Yeah.
Learning.
Growing.
That's probably...
developing. Yeah. They kind of all fit under that learning, growing umbrella.
Yeah.
So
we'll put these on our t-shirts. By the way, we're still waiting for some jumpers from...
this is a stain plumbing again. I don't know where they are. They better be on their way soon because winter's coming.
But we are gonna get some lay of the land merch. So, if anyone does want some lay of the land merch, please reach out and we'll get that happening because we've kind of been putting that off. But Steve, you said that you're going to come up with a new logo.
Yep, I've got it.
Oh, for the brand already? Okay.
I've got it. This is the drop. We haven't
seen this, guys. Stella and I have not seen this.
All right, I'm going to put it out here. This is live feedback.
Ooh.
Are we playing for the West Coast Eagles?
Okay.
This is great viewing for the listeners.
Yes. Well, so, really good audio, Steve, take us beyond the visual. Talk to us about what you've created and a little bit of why.
Okay. Well, I saw this logo and it's called South Coast LA Cafe. And they've got this awesome logo. It's basically, look it up on Instagram. It's a cool logo. And I've sort of taken some ideas from that. But I've also put two colors combined with...
our footy teams?
Well, no, oh, but that's a
beach?
Good point.
The ocean?
Beach, ocean, and I just like blue and yellow.
There was no consulting here. But I do like that design. I think it's real fresh. I do like that. I could definitely see that on a t-shirt, yep. On a trucker cap, on a stubby holder.
Yep.
In lights in Broadway when we do our live shows. I could definitely see that sign.
So, yeah, there's
maybe even on a banner down the Wye River Hotel.
Yeah, Wye River Hotel. That'd be great. I don't know if we've spoken about that before, but I reckon that live show there would be epic.
I think we talk about the Surf Coast a little bit. Were we going to get a promotion?
Well, you were planning on being down some form of coast, or more bay, this weekend for your two times you sprint triathlon.
Well,
do you want to talk us a bit about that? And obviously, it's going to be cancelled now.
And your training.
The training,
Well, I'm just doing the fun triathlon for, well, it's going to be Sunday, not the sprint.
That aligns with our values here.
Yes. Fun. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe one day we'll be the sprint and we'll just finish the podcast off as quick as we can.
Do you reckon you could get the lay of the land podcast on Lycra from when you...
That's a good idea, actually.
Instead of
wearing a bib like with the number on it, I'll just wear the logo. People will be riding behind me going, what the f***?
What about a pizza bib?
Pizza bib. Nah, look.
Put on the budgie smugglers.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. The training's been going pretty good. I went down to Acronation, a few laps.
How'd you find the size of that pool?
Massive.
It was like an ocean.
But everyone was great down there. I don't know. Like, it just seemed like a good community pool.
It's a great atmosphere at the Acronation. You walk in, it's like a calm feeling.
Yeah.
It's a really nice venue.
Lots of people. It was packed.
It was packed.
Could not get a car spot. And I was like, what is going on? What are people doing at the gym on a Sunday? Usually Sunday is a day for relaxation. It's just all
the families at the pool, mate, in the kids' pool.
Yeah.
Was there many people in your lane?
No, it was two people in my lane, so...
Do you choose the slow, medium, or fast
lane? I went the medium.
Okay.
I'm a medium
kind of guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Medium, yeah.
It's
a safe bet.
Yeah. I was scared about the fast one. I was like, I'm not... Because I was literally just trying to get some longer swims into my arms.
And stroke of choice?
Breath stroke?
No. Freestyle. So, yeah. It was good. But I didn't go the slow lane because... I saw some of the form in the slide. And I thought, I'm better than that. I'm better than that.
So, the 50-meter pool, how many laps did you get?
It was 1,000 meters, so 10 laps.
No, that's 1,000 meters is 20 laps.
20 meters, 20 laps. That's right.
Well, that's a great effort.
Yeah. Great effort.
That's a really good effort, Steve. Yeah. Well done. Especially when you're not used to swimming in that length pool.
Yeah, I took breaks between, sometimes I tried to do the spin and
tumble turn.
Yep, try to do the tumble turn sometimes. Sometimes I'd have a little break, and sometimes there was one stage where I had a longer break where I just sat there and just looked around, browsed.
Talk to the people in the lanes next to you.
Pretty much, yeah.
What's it like to be in the slow lane?
I pretended I got to the end of like the, in the sweat in the Olympics where they get the end, they turn around with their goggles, look at their time, and I like whack the water, and I'm like, damn it, 3 seconds off. But nah, it's good.
So, if the triathlon was to go ahead on Sunday,
yeah,
do you feel that you're in peak physical fitness for the race?
Yeah. Oh, look, I could have been better, but mostly pretty good. I would have been fine.
I mean, you were really watching your diet, what you were consuming, how late you were staying out at night in the weeks leading up, weren't you?
Exactly. Yeah. So I haven't been out for ages, and I've just been taking it easy. So no, but in terms of my training, it's been good.
You've been very active. You've been doing a bit of everything.
Well, that's what it is.
That's a triathlon.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, he's getting out for walks. That was a nice outfit you were wearing on that walk, by the way.
He's been fishing. He went fishing the other week.
That should be part of it.
I mean, usually you're fishing for compliments, but what did you catch out on the boat the other day?
I actually caught a lot of fish. It was quite good. So, yeah.
So, the phrase... plenty of fish in the sea rings true.
It does, actually.
Unless you're being mutually exclusive.
Have you guys ever done fishing? Have you guys ever gone fishing?
Just with your uncle and auntie.
Yeah.
Up north.
That's right.
Yeah. Maybe got a sea urchin.
That's right. We did actually catch a fish there. Can you remember eating that fish?
Oh, I think I had a steak.
You caught a steak?
No, we sat there and ate the fish.
Nah, you're right. Yeah, I do.
Was that actually that day?
I think we
caught
that,
Did Chrissy just buy it? She just bought it and just said, we'll just pretend you caught this.
No, I think we did catch it. Okay. Yeah.
Have you ever gone fishing?
I have. I haven't really caught anything. Yeah. I may have caught like real small fish once up in Pambula in a river, in a lake, sorry, but it was undersized, so I had to put it back.
It's a great, great experience. So if you ever want to do it, I think it's something Fishing Charters down in Blairgowrie, and it was great. He actually knew the good spots to go. Put the line in and they were biting at the bit.
Chomping at the bit?
That's what I meant. Chomping at the bit. So, we should do it one day. Could be part of the perfect day off.
Yes.
But you're going to do all these activities by yourself, so.
Yeah, true.
We'll just sit on the pier at Sorrento and just wave down with our fish and chips.
Well, that's probably one of your guys' things to do, sit there and have fish and chips for dinner. So you guys do that and I'll go fishing by myself.
Now, looking ahead,
yeah,
what have you guys got coming up for the next week? It's a little bit of a different week or a bit of a different 5 days. We're going into stage four. So what's planned or what did you have planned that is now not going ahead?
For me, work. I was working every day from Sunday.
Can you do that remotely?
In a cafe, drinking and serve a coffee through my...
through the drones.
I'll buy one.
I think it'll be cold by the time we get there.
Yeah.
But nothing much. I was looking forward to getting... I've been really into the body fit. We've got an 8-week challenge going on at the moment.
Why don't you give us an update on that?
Yeah, I'm getting swole. I mean, I haven't got any compliments by you boys yet, but I'm filling out this t-shirt. Yeah. So It's going really good. Really enjoying it. I think the fact that it's a challenge, it's being called the challenge, just motivates you more. Whether or not you're doing any extra, it just, you do push a bit harder in the gym. And those days, like this morning, I was like, I'm not sure if I'll go today, but I thought, no, I'm doing a challenge. I'm going to go. So, you know, been a bit sore, but that's expected. You push yourself harder and you're going to be a bit sore the next day, but really enjoying it. So I was speaking to Bridget at the Mitchum Social the other night, and she was showing interest in possibly joining up with Body Fit. I know she was a fan of F45, so I told her to get on to Mitchum Body Fit. So yeah, it's gone really, really good. And for the next 5 days, not much. I had to take my laptop into a Mac store, so I don't have that for the next week.
A bit of time for reflection. No laptop, no body fit.
Yeah, a bit of reading, I think.
Bit of reading.
Some walking.
Yeah.
What do you...
I did come up with this idea in the car on the way here. I mean, I'm just dumping on you boys here, but I thought 5 in 5.
What's that?
5 podcasts in 5 days.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
It's doable.
So...
you can easily do that.
We'll maybe consult after the show. Yeah. And because we're going to be at home for 5 days, so... even if they're short, quickie episodes.
It'll catch up some episodes from over summer that we missed out on to give the listeners a bit of fun, a bit of enjoyment over...
It'd be an exponential growth on... I mean, we haven't put out a podcast for 3 weeks and now we're going to aim for 5 in 5 days. I love it. I love to think big.
I'm sporadic.
Let's do it.
What's going on with you? What's been happening?
What's going on with me?
Yeah, well, next 5 days.
I was actually supposed to be going to check out a wedding venue with my partner tomorrow morning. So that's canned. And then we were going to go.
Wedding.
it's off. Put it off. It's too hard. It's all too hard. It's fate.
She doesn't listen. Doesn't matter.
I thought you would have pulled her off.
No, of course we'll go ahead with it. But and then we're also supposed to go and talk to a priest about some available dates at the church that's also cancelled. And we're going to go for a drive on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day on Sunday. Yes. Couldn't be worse timing for this shutdown. For on a serious note, for florists who I can imagine. It's the best time of year on Sunday in restaurants. So, but we were going to go for a drive and get some fish and chips at the beach. So, won't be doing that. But we'll probably just chill out. We've done this before, haven't we? You know, this is going to hopefully just be much shorter than the last one.
Oh, yeah.
And what about you? Did you have anything concrete on, Steve?
Well, just as you said about the florist, hopefully they can do the deliveries and stuff. But when I walked in here, a lot of people would have had dinner bookings and breakfast bookings and lunch bookings for this weekend.
You had a big day plans for Bridge, didn't you?
No, I was doing my triathlon in the morning, so she was going to be in bed and I was going to be doing my triathlon. So, I was hoping that we were going to meet afterwards for breakfast because there's no spectators. But I said, come and stand on the street. So, for the next one, I said, come and stand on the street and you guys are welcome to come too. And anyone who's listening, if you want to come down Elwood Beach.
Get a watch party.
Sunday the 28th, my wave starts at 7:15.
Real Sunday real the technical
technical
language here. My wave starts
and there's no drafting, which I've got learned about today. I learned about today that you're not actually meant to ride near anyone else. You have to stay a fair way away from them. So there's all these little things I'm learning. Not doing that. We might just take it easy. There's still plenty of stuff to do at home, so just make a bit more of that. And
Maybe if we do a 5 and 5 episode on Valentine's Day, we might have to come on with a bit of a love song dedications.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of love song dedications, what's your favourite Taylor Swift song?
Geez, Steve, don't you have to get to dinner?
Yeah, well, I've got 3 minutes, so 3 minutes to wrap it up. Oh,
I don't know if we can. Let's save Taylor for the next episode, because I reckon that's a long conversation.
Yeah, right. Well, listen here, that leaves a bit of suspense.
That's right.
Your favourite Taylor Swift song. Have a think about it.
Come back with yours. Yeah. Your favourite or a top three?
Top three.
Okay.
DM us.
Yes. At where can they reach us, Steve?
Lay of the Land Pod. Lay of the Land Pod on Insta.
Hasn't done this in a while.
I've also been thinking I want to try and get an invite to Clubhouse. Have you guys heard about Clubhouse?
Yes.
Cool little
new shout app. Out to Sounding Board. Sounding Board. Did a good preview of Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And it looks like it could be a fun forum to also open it up to listeners to ask some questions if they like. So maybe something we can explore.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
So, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Bring it on, guys, and to the listeners, stay safe for the next 5 days. And guys, we've done it before, just enjoy this time by yourself, but we'll make it out, and we'll be there for every step of the journey.
See you guys.
Gotcha.
Take care.
That's your shocker.